Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, parents, to the Impactful Parents Inspire and Learn series, where real parents come on and tell their real stories of inspiration and learning. Because a wise man learns from his mistakes, but a wiser man learns from other people's mistakes. And today we're going to be learning from our guest speaker, Jason Reed. And Jason is going to talk to us about the importance of really paying attention to your child's mental health. Because Jason is a very, very successful entrepreneur, but his life changed and flipped upside down in March of 2018 when his son, his youngest son, Ryan, took his own life. Today, Jason is founder of ChooseLife.org, which is an organization focused on ending teen suicide by helping parents own their child's mental health. And he has an amazing short documentary of his own story called Tell My Story, which is actually directly Ryan's own words and last requests to his family. Thank you for being on today, Jason.
Thank you for having me here.
Let's start with your story. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened, how you got here?
Yeah. Well, let me start by saying never in a million years would I think I'd be here. My life was on track. It was great. Four kids. Ryan was the youngest. He just turned 14. Kim and I were away on her birthday weekend, celebrating her birthday. We had dinner that night talking about how great our life was and the next phase of our life, because the kids were all starting to go off to college and I was going to head to high school, and you know, soon we'd be empty nesters. And that night, after we got back from dinner, Ryan texted all of us, whole family, individually, and said goodbye. And he took his own life in our house. Well, he didn't die in our house, but died 4 days later in the hospital. But it was something I never expected. And it's something that I always thought happened to other people. It doesn't happen to people like me. And that's the fallacy that we all live by, is that this kind of thing happens to other people. It happens to all of us. We think that kids who take their own life come from poor families, they come from bad families, they have some trauma in their lives that caused them to think that way and do those kind of things, and that's not what happens. I can guarantee you that Ryan's life was not that way. In fact, he was straight A's and great kid, and everybody loved him, and he's funny, and there was no signs. At least I didn't think there was any signs. There were signs, though. I just didn't know what to look for, because I had never focused on my kids' mental health. I didn't think I had to. I didn't think it was a thing. A few weeks after Ryan had passed, I was going through his drawers and his room. You should do that, right? You're searching for something. And I found the top left drawer. I opened it up and there's a note that said, "Here's my username and passwords, and tell my story." So.
And that's from Ryan. He said, "Tell my story." That's very powerful.
What I've done since Ryan passed, I've been on a journey trying to say, what went wrong for me and how do I stop it from going wrong for you? So I did a movie called Tell My Story. I'm not going to lie, it's a hard film to watch. And it's not about Ryan as much as it is about other kids. I talked to parents and kids across the West Coast that experienced this and got their stories. And their stories are powerful, very powerful.
And what did you learn in that process? Like, what was the message that came across that these kids want their parents to do?
That's a great question. They want you to do the opposite of what you think you should do. They want you to ask questions and listen and love them and not judge them, and not try to fix them. That's what I learned, amongst a whole bunch of other things, but one of the biggest things I learned is that Look, and let me back up. I'm a guy, I'm a CEO, I own companies across the United States. I employ a couple thousand people with my partners. I do a whole bunch of different things. I've been very successful. I've written a bunch of books that then all the stuff that doesn't matter now, I've done it. But I fix things for a living. I coach CEOs. People come with problems all day long, I fix them. You tell me what's going on in your life, I'll fix it for you. Or I'll tell you how to fix it. My wife hates that about me. But that's what we want to do with our kids, right? They come to us and say, hey, I broke up with my girlfriend, I broke up with my boyfriend, I'm really sad and I hate this and I can't deal with it. Our natural thing to do is say, look, it's not that bad. There's a whole bunch of other people out there. You're only 15, it doesn't matter. You're gonna go through 100 other people in your life before you get married. Why are you worried about this? Let me tell you what the real problems are. Hey, they come to you and say, I'm really upset my friends went out without me. Well, your friends are stupid. They should go out with you and blah, blah, blah. We just want to protect our kids. We want to fix our kids. The minute that you start doing that with your kids, the less likely they're going to be to tell you anything next time.
It's kind of belittling, actually, when we just say, oh, don't worry about it. No, don't. It's, you know, you don't need to worry about that. Or they're just stupid. And we need to validate our kids for how they feel.
Because in their world, that is the most important thing.
Yeah.
In your world, maybe you just lost your job. Maybe you lost a big contract. Maybe your parents are sick and ill and dying. Maybe there's a whole bunch of big things going on in your life, right? And someone comes to you with, my best friend doesn't want to talk to me. You're like, really? But in their lives,
it's huge.
That's the most important thing. And they don't have the ability to cope with it, right? They get someone bullying them on their phone and they're like, and their lives are crashing down around them. They don't need a luxury. They love. They need support. The biggest thing I've learned is that we can reverse what's going on here. This trajectory of suicide going up through the roof, this trajectory of mental health problems going up through the roof, we can absolutely change the path, but it's not the way you think we're going to change it. It's not going to be the government. It's not going to be therapists. It's not going to be any of those things. It's going to be us as parents. We need to own the mental health of our kids the way we own the physical health of our kids. When your kid comes to you and says, I've got a stomach ache, I'm in pain, we take them to the doctors. We do whatever we have to do to get them to feel better. We need to treat their mental health the same way. When they come to you and say, I'm depressed, I just don't see things right now, or I'm sad, we have to have the time and take the time to talk to them. And understanding that depression is different. I've never been depressed. I don't understand it. Okay? I'm honest, I do not understand it. I know it's okay to be sad. I get sad. But the difference between being sad and being depressed is you get sad for a day. You get depressed for days. The difference is I'm in Southern California right now. I'm looking outside my window and there's not a cloud in the sky. It's a blue, sunny day. That's what the sky looks like. If I was here with a person who's depressed, they may see only clouds in the same sky I'm looking at. And there's nothing I'm going to say to make them believe those clouds don't exist. The only way, I can't say there's not a cloud. There's no clouds there. You're wrong. It's sunny. Look again. They're not going to get it because their mind isn't allowing them to see it. The correct answer I've learned, and I'm not a therapist, I'm not licensed, and I'm not even going to try to go down that path with you. All right? I've learned this the hard way. And talking to a whole bunch of kids. What they want you to say when they see clouds, you don't see clouds, is tell me about those clouds. What do your clouds look like? Explain them to me. Describe them to me. Why do you think the clouds are there? Ask questions and listen. And then don't judge. Don't tell them how much their life is so much better than they think it is, because they don't want to hear it and they're not going to hear it. And think about it. For those of you who have been to a therapist, and I had never had before now I have one on speed dial and talk twice a week. Probably one of the best things I've ever done. But what do they do? What's the therapist really do? They ask you questions, right? What do they do?
Yeah, they listen. They ask questions and they listen.
And that's all. That's, I mean, that's, I mean, I'm sorry for therapists, but that's what you do, right? And it's great that you do that. And you have a skill set to be able to do that, that other people do not, can't seem to do. But as a parent, you can be their therapist. If you just ask questions, you don't judge, and you listen. And anyone who goes to a therapist, they go in for an hour, they talk straight for an hour. The therapist says very little if they're a good therapist. And unless they're asked, they don't give you much advice. If you say, hey, can you tell me how I should look at this? They'll say, well, maybe you could look at it this way. Other than that, they just listen. And you walk out feeling better because you spoke and you got it off your chest. We need to do that with our kids. That's how we own our kids' mental health, is we get them to talk and share how they feel. To talk about those clouds in the sky and describe them to us. And tell us why they think they're there. And ask if there's anything to help make them go away.
And if they say, no, there's nothing you can do, you just sit and you listen some more.
Sit. And if you are feeling like, wow, this, they're on the edge, you have to not be afraid to ask the question. And the question is, have you, how bad is this? Have you thought about hurting yourself? You can't be afraid to ask that question. And you'll know, as a parent, as a friend, as this applies to your spouses, your friends, everybody, right? You have to not be afraid to ask that question. Have you thought about hurting yourself? You're not putting the idea in their head.
Yes. And that's one thing I think a lot of parents need to understand. And I think it's really misunderstood. They're afraid because they're thinking they're going to put the idea in their head if they mention it. And you're not parents. You are being a concerned parent. You have to directly ask them. Don't beat around the bush. Don't ask them a roundabout way. Point blank, say it. How do you feel right now? Do you feel like you need to hurt yourself? Are you in that place? And just do it. Just ask.
And if they say yes, you have to ask further questions. Are you feeling that way now? Did you feel that way in the past? Tell me about the last time you felt that way. When you say you want to hurt yourself, what did you want to do? Well, I wanted to cut myself. Okay, why? Okay, tell me about that. I wanted to kill myself. Tell me about that. Do you have a plan? How are you going to do that? If they don't have a plan, they just thought, I just wanted to die. Okay, people, that happens to people. They feel that way from time to time. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be concerned, but if they don't have an actual plan, you don't have to be as concerned. If they have a plan, say, yes, on Wednesday I was planning to do this, but I stopped. We need to get them to a doctor. We need to get them to a therapist. We need to get them to a hospital. We need to get them the immediate treatment they need because they're at that edge.
Yes. And parents, you could take your child to the emergency room and they will do an assessment on your child to see how far into the process of wanting to hurt themselves that they are. And it could be the most important hospital visit that you'll have. Even if they end up saying it's not critical enough and turn you away, it's showing your child you care enough to take them there anyway. So it's just do it. Just take them and hopefully the hospital can help them. They'll typically take your child, do the evaluation, possibly send them to a place where they can stay for a few days and not hurt themselves, and they'll be monitored 24/7. That's kind of the process if you're wondering and you're listening to this right now.
And some of you go, well, how do I know they're not just, and somebody asked me this the other day when I was doing an event like this, and some of the audience said, well, what if they're just looking for attention?
Yes. Good question. Yeah.
And just looking for attention. Well, my answer is this. Then give them some attention. And take it very seriously. Because what if they're not looking for attention? What if you're wrong? Right? Give them the attention they need. Maybe that visit to the hospital can scare them straight. It has happened where kids who have been put into the hospital for a couple of days holy cow, these people are really sick. I'm done with that.
Yeah.
I've seen that. I've heard that happen too, right? But you don't know. You don't know. And you can't take the risk.
And I love how you compare mental health to physical health, because as a parent, it is so natural to take care of physical health. You get a cold, they fall and they get a bruise, you know, you clean them up, you help them, you comfort them. But we need to shift our mindset as parents to really helping with the mental health. It's so important. It's the same thing, parents. It's so important. I'm going to ask you, Jason, was there any warning signs in retrospect? I know in the beginning you said there wasn't really any warning signs that you saw, but I want to help parents. If they see certain things, you know, what should they be looking for? If you got a kid that's not saying, hey, help me, they're not, instead they're just more withdrawing.
Yeah, no, I, look, it's easy for me to say I didn't see anything, right? But it's more realistic to say I missed it. Mm-hmm. And I have to own the fact I missed it. Not that I wallow in it every day, because I still have a good life outside of Ryan. Still married to my wife, still have my other kids, and we have a good life together. It's a different life. It's a good life. But I have to own it. I missed it. He was more withdrawn. He spent more time in his room. He was quicker to snap than he used to be. I thought he was just a grumpy kid. I thought he was a grumpy teenager. I had three others. He was the youngest. Thought he was less grumpy than the rest. But I missed it. I missed how he was sliding. He was physically ill because he had Crohn's disease. I figured a lot of his anger was around that. Probably wasn't. I didn't take the time to really ask him what was going on. I'd ask him, how are you doing? He said, I'm fine. I'm like, okay, great, because I'm not busy. So if you say you're fine, I can go do something else. And that's a big mistake we make as parents, is that we have to talk to our kids. We went into the rooms and say, you all right? I'm fine. Leave me alone. They're okay. I don't need to do this right now. I have other stuff I can do. This is for you, not for me. So looking back on it, I could have done a much better job of figuring out what the hell was going on in Ryan's head. And Ryan and I, by the way, Ryan and I had a great relationship. We'd hang out together. We traveled together. We were planning our trip to Washington for the summertime, the two of us. We were planning a trip to Dubai for the following year, the week before he died. We would watch, when I travel a lot for business, when I was home, I was home. We would watch movies together every night before we went to bed. We had a great relationship. I didn't know my son. Thought I did. Not know my son. So let me give you a couple of tips, because you're probably saying, look, I want to talk to my kids. They don't want to talk to me.
Right.
Right? I've tried. They don't want to talk to me. I get it. So let me tell you a couple of things that I've learned from that.
Please.
First thing is, as parents, we have a tendency to want to talk to them when we want to talk to them. That's not going to happen. They're only going to talk to us when they want to talk to us. And it's inherently inconvenient when they want to talk to us. Right? Because parenting is inconvenient. So the first thing you don't want to do, and think, if this does not work, by the way, I know you own the house. I know you pay for everything. I know that everything in that room of theirs you bought. I get it. I get their whole life is because of you. I got it. But when you barge into that room and say, we're going to talk, that's their only little sacred space they have in the world. That's all they got. And now you just barged into it. Let them have their space. Let them have their room. Don't try to have serious conversations in the room unless they want to have this, unless they invite it. Because otherwise, that's why you get, I'm fine, leave me alone, get out of my room. Which we've all heard, right? You know your kids. You know there's times when they're going to want to talk to you and when they don't. Maybe it's on the drive to school. Maybe it's on the drive home. Maybe it's while you're making dinner. Maybe it's going out for a walk. Maybe it's on the way to a sporting game. Whatever it might be that you do, you know when they're more willing to talk. And you can sense there's a moment when they're willing to talk and a time when they don't want to talk. So don't try to get them to talk when they don't want to talk if they're not going to. But capitalize on that time when they do want to talk and go deep. And if you have to put down your own cell phone and you have to cancel a phone call or a night out or something because your kids are willing to talk to you, talk to them. Because as parents of teenagers, we know that time might only come along every couple of weeks where they're actually willing to talk. And when they do, just ask questions and listen. And the more you ask questions and listen, do not judge them. Do not lecture them. They will talk to you more. And here's another mistake I made. I showed up as a guy who had it all figured out. In some ways I did, right? Here I am. I've got the companies. I've written books. I'm a black belt. I'm an Ironman guy. I coach CEOs. Yada, 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 yada. It doesn't matter, right? But I showed up. I've never cried in front of my kids. I showed up as everything's right. The reality, I failed at 12 or 13 other businesses with my partners over the years. I've almost been bankrupt two or three times. I question whether I'm smart enough to do what I do, but that's not how I show up to my kids and my family, right? They never knew any of those things. My wife never knew all the stuff I was going through. I kept it from my family. Why? Because my job was to make sure they had a good life. They did not need to see what I went through. Why? Well, I'm a 50-year-old white guy. That's how we grew up. That's what we do, right? Some of us show up and we're like, boom, my job is to be a provider, and that's what I do. So how did Ryan see? A guy who always had it figured out, never had a problem, never cried. So when Ryan had a problem, and Ryan was crying, and Ryan couldn't figure it out, Ryan feared, there must be something wrong with him. So my advice is to share with your kids what you're going through. They need to understand that life isn't great all the time. It's okay to have a bad day at work and to say, you know what, my boss yelled at me because I did something stupid. Or I'm feeling sad at the moment. It's going to invite them to feel that they can share with you. Because when you don't do that, bad things can happen. When kids or anyone goes so far as to take their own life, they don't want to leave you. They don't want to die. They want the pain to end. And the pain is so strong that it overcomes their willingness to stay here. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. It's like you can say, why would you leave me? It doesn't matter. Ryan left us. The pain was too strong. Being on the surface is too much for him. But while we're talking about the internet, if you don't mind, mm-hmm. I'm going to give you 2 seconds on Instagram, Facebook, and all of that. Overwhelmingly, the kids I talked to said that that is a terrible place for all of them. Mm. Right? Because their brains can't figure out the fact, nor can ours, that every time that person posts a picture, their life isn't really that way. And they assume that everybody's life is awesome besides theirs. And they get bullied on Instagram, they get bullied on Facebook. Ryan didn't have that issue. Ryan wasn't really on social media. Ryan's issues were deeper, they're personal. I'll never really understand what they were, but they were his. But I would think twice about giving my kid an Instagram account or a Facebook account or a TikTok account when they're young. What age? I don't know, 14, 15, with you supervising. I said you own that, leave them alone in their rooms. I believe that. But I'll tell you this, you own the phone. That's theirs to borrow, which means you can grab it anytime you look at it. You're paying the bill, and you have to look at it. And you have to have the conversation, but if you're going to be on Instagram, understand what you're looking at and tell me if something bad happens, so I can help you, or we can talk through it. You need to do that with your kids. And the final piece on that from my end is that I do not believe that a child who gets a phone that's 10, 12, 13 years of age needs a browser on that phone. Take the browser off the phone, or get an app to block the browser. And why do I feel that way? Well, it's pretty simple, because I gave Ryan a phone, because he's a good kid. Gave it to him when he was probably 12. Didn't think about the browser on the phone. Right? He'd watch YouTube videos if that's all. I don't care. Watch other kids play video games. I don't care. But what Ryan really used, what I really said to Ryan was, Ryan, here you go. You can go visit anywhere in the world you want on this phone, and I won't watch, and I won't care, and I won't even ask, because I didn't even think about it. And you think about all the terrible places you can visit on the internet. People will say that porn is the worst thing on the internet. It's a bad thing. I'm not going to say it's a good thing, but it's not the worst thing. Ryan used that phone to learn how to take his own life. He researched different ways to kill himself on that phone. So if you have a, if you're thinking about giving your 10, 12, 13-year-old kid a phone, I'm not saying don't. I'm saying if you're going to give him an Instagram account, that's yours. And take the browser off the phone.
All those things, all the lessons that you've learned is, well, your message is so powerful and there's so much value. So from for so many other parents, I hope they listen and I hope they hear you and I hope they take all this advice because it could save their own child's life for sure.
You need to own your kid's mental health. And it's not to be worried about them taking their own lives. It's because a large portion of them are hurting right now. You need to help them figure that out so they can have better lives.
I'd like to know where families can go for support if they're resonating with your story and how they can not only contact you and watch your short documentary. Can you give us that information?
Look, I think there's a lot of local groups that you have to, and I would start there. Google, support groups for families locally. ChooseLife.org has my TEDx talks and links to the movie. You can go down that path if you like, and just talk with other parents. There's a lot out there. The internet's an amazing thing, right? Everything you want to search for, you will find locally now. There's a lot of great organizations. I wish I could tell you if you go to this one, this one, or this one, all your problems are solved. But it's not that simple, right? Because every one of our kids is different. Maybe your kid has a bullying issue. Maybe you need to look into bullying. Maybe your kid is LGBT. You need to look into that, right? Maybe your kid needs to be on medication. Maybe you need to look into that. But you need to do your own research. There's lots there.
Can you tell me again the website to go see your documentary again? It's chooselife.org.
ChooseLife.org has most everything on it, and TellMyStoryFilm.com will take you right to the documentary. And that's what I've got for you.
Thank you so much for being here today, Jason. I really, really appreciate it. And parents, go take a look at this documentary. It's very, very powerful. Watch it with your children. It's something that don't be afraid to watch it with them either. It's very educational. It could open up a conversation that just needs to start happening. And you got this, parents. But until next time, we're just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge. Browse the free resources. Or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today, and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.